It was a long, twisty rock tunnel, more than paw deep in stream water. After a while, there was a few lit torches and firefly lanterns hanging from the walls. The air became close and hot, awful smelly too, like rotten eggs. Then I came round a sharp bend and into a cavern. It was so massive that it could have held Redwall Abbey and all its grounds inside. Everything was in a sort of green light. There were carrion birds perched everywhere, reptiles too, lizards, toads, grass snakes, and birds flying round up near the ceiling. It was a dangerous place to be, so I hid behind a big heap of bones. Suddenly, the cave became alive with noise, birds cackling, toads croaking, and a big drum banging. A gang of the carrion and reptiles came in, dragging a net with two creatures trapped inside it. They lugged it to this big lake in the middle of the cave. There was clouds of the green mist coming off this lake. It was bubbling like a cauldron over a fire. There was an island at the centre of the lake with a statue on it. The thing looked like a huge blackbird with a serpent coiled on its head, like a crown. But it was the eyes of the statue that caught my attention. Four of them, great glittering jewels, two red for the bird and two green for the snake. They shone like fire, twinkling and dazzling like stars.
Bisky whispered to Dwink.
The eyes of the great doom might see. I told you it was true.
Samulus silenced Bisky with a glare. He turned back to the ancient diary as Humphrey Spickle interrupted eagerly.
What happened next, Samulus? Tell us more!
Abbot Glisson reprimanded the big gatekeeper mildly.
Hush thou, Humphrey. Give Samulus a chance.
The old mouse turned the yellow pages slowly.
Then a giant crow with a snake curled about his head, just like the statue, came flying out of the mist. All the birds and reptiles started chanting, Rigva, Skur, the whites, the whites. Then the big drum set off to booming again. From where I was hiding, I could see that the two trapped in the net were Gowsome Shrews, friends of Redwall. But there was nothing I could do to help them. It was horrible what happened to those two poor beasts. Too awful to tell you.
Samulus paused as he turned the page.
Lady Columbine takes up the story now.
My Gomph would speak no more about the fate of the Gowsome Shrews. He sat quiet a while, breathing in the sweet scent of the orchard, before he spoke again.
How lucky we are to be living in this beautiful abbey, able to breathe clean air and see the sky above. Oh, just the thought of that cave gives me the shivers, but some good came out of it. Every beast has to sleep sometime. Was when I took my revenge on those evil ones for the cruel way they slew those shrews. I stole what seemed to me their most treasured possessions and escaped the cave without being noticed. For am I not Gonf, the prince of all mouse thieves?
Bisky clapped his paws with delight.
Ha ha! Good old Prince Gonf! He swiped the eyes out of the statues!
Samulus tweaked the young mouse's ear.
Excuse me, who's telling this tale, me or you?
Smilingly, the abbot corrected him.
Lady Columbine, I think, friend. You're only the reader.
Samulus sniffed.
Good, then perhaps you'll allow me to carry on with my reading. Right, back to Columbine.
Gump produced a cloth bag from his jerkin and gave it to me. There were four stones in it, each the size of a dove's egg. They were brilliant, two as red as embers in a winter's night's fire, the other two as green as sunlight shining through a mossy pool.
These are for you, my dear,
said Gomph. However, I could not think of accepting such gifts, and gave him my reason for refusing. If these jewels are the eyes of the statue you told me of, then they have seen many evil deeds. I could not wear them, touch them, and I feel very uneasy just looking at them. You must put them somewhere where they will never again be seen, some place where they will not bring danger to Redwall.